Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode.
Hi. Hey. What are you doing today?
Well, we're going to talk about some news stories that happened this week.
Okay.
Our first story is out of Boston.
Ooh.
This is from the CBS affiliate in Boston. Lizzie Borden's house is for sale.
Ooh.
For $2 million, you can buy Lizzie Borden's Fall River house, but there is a catch. The catch is...
you have to eat the mutton stew.
Well, that could be part of it. This is what it says. Looking to acquire a unique piece of property, the Lizzie Borden Bed and Breakfast Museum in Fall River, described as the creepiest place to visit in Massachusetts, is up for sale. So you got to... they're selling it as a bed and breakfast.
Do you have to keep it a bed and breakfast?
I think so, because it's a historical site.
Oh, and it's a museum too.
It's a museum. It said the house is operating as a bed and breakfast, complete with 6 bedrooms to choose from. Visitors can also take part in guided tours. Now the home is on the market with an asking price of $2 million. The listing agent calls this an unbelievable opportunity to own and operate one of New England's top tourist attractions. Picture yourself serving fun hatchet cookies, tiny Johnny cakes, and a scrumptious breakfast to overnight guests who have just enjoyed an experience of a lifetime. Owner's retirement is your gain, the listing reads.
I wish I could buy it.
Right.
And wouldn't you love to run that bed and breakfast? Like, it's not my dream, but it does seem fun.
You'd meet a lot of interesting people, probably.
Probably. I want to go.
I would love to go to this museum slash we should stay overnight in this bed and breakfast.
I can't wait till this thing, everything is where we can travel again.
Yeah.
I do think it would be fun to go to these weird museums.
I would love
stuff.
To record shows at these places.
Yeah, definitely. So, where's Falls River's
Falls River, Massachusetts?
Is it like close to Boston or far? I have no idea where it is.
I think it's pretty close to Boston.
Okay. Cool.
So if you have $2 million, you can buy this house. It's all very Victorian inside. There's
if
a lot
you've
of
always wanted us to sleep over. This is your opportunity.
This is your opportunity. If you have the money, and you don't feel like just giving it to us, you should buy this place, and we will spend the night.
Yeah, definitely.
When COVID is dealt with,
absolutely.
Okay, our next story: chastity cages were hacked.
What? Oh, you mean, oh.
Now, these were not your ordinary chastity cages. These were chastity cages that were electronic controlled. So they were controlled by an app.
I think
to
I've
be
heard
locked
of these.
And unlocked by an app that
okay.
someone else had. So it wasn't like, this is a digital chastity cage. Like there's an actual cage around the person's cock. But it's controlled by someone else via an app.
Okay.
Instead of them having a key. This is from Vice. It says, turns out giving an internet-connected device control of your penis may not be the best idea ever. A hacker took control of people's internet-connected chastity cages and demanded a ransom to be paid in Bitcoin to unlock it.
This is the nerdiest crime ever.
If somebody asked like for Bitcoin from me, I would be like, you might as well just kill me, because I don't even know, like
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
I wouldn't even know where to begin with that.
Yeah. I
like every time someone's tried to explain Bitcoin to me, I'm like, just stop talking. Like
I don't understand it either.
I don't get it. Please don't try to explain it to me. I've had people try to explain it to me. I don't get
it. I'll live without it.
I am fine being in the dark about Bitcoin.
I'm fascinated by the person who's like, I know what I can do. Like, where do you even have this knowledge? Like, did he hear about the app and was instantly like, I can make this into a crime? Like,
I can make money from this.
Yeah. And there has to be like a fail safe or some way to get out of it. Because what if you just had someone in control of your cock forever? how do you get out of it?
That you didn't consent to them.
Yeah. That just seems like there isn't like an opt out. You know what I mean? Like, or a manual way to end it.
Like a safe word.
Yeah.
But for your chastity case.
Yeah, it seems crazy.
Your cock is mine now, the hacker told one of the victims.
The most... I'm sorry. How do you say that? No homo. Fellas, is it gay to tell a guy your cock is mine now? Sorry, I'm doing some memes.
According to a screenshot of the conversation obtained by a security researcher that goes by the name Smelly and is the founder of VX Underground, a website that collects malware samples, in October of last year, security researchers found that the manufacturer of an Internet of Things chastity cage, a sex toy that users put around their penis to prevent erections that is used in the BDSM community, can be unlocked remotely, had left an API exposed, giving malicious hackers a chance to take control of the devices. That's exactly what happened, according to a security researcher who obtained screenshots of conversations between the hacker and several victims. Now, one of the victims is in this Vice article. He's identified only as Robert. He said he received a message from the hacker demanding a payment of 0.02 Bitcoin, which is around $750.
Yes. I know that you can trade in like partial Bitcoins.
Oh.
Like, I know someone who got half a Bitcoin.
This is a weird exchange rate.
Yeah.
To me. But luckily for Robert, the cage was not on his dick at the time.
Ooh.
He was like, okay, fine.
Yeah. Actually, I'm turned on right now.
Yeah. He said that the cage had been locked when he got the threat, like the blackmail.
So the guy
threat.
Thought it was just locked on his cock.
Yeah, the guy who was the hacker thought that this would be locked, like on his dick at the time that he sent the threatening message.
Yeah, that seems like the flaw in his plan.
Yeah, you don't know when it's on someone.
And people probably don't use them that much. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And he wasn't using it. He said, fortunately, I didn't have this locked on myself while this happened. I wasn't the owner of the cage anymore, so I didn't have full control over the cage at any given moment. Another victim who goes by the name RJ told Motherboard in an online chat. RJ said he got a message from the hacker who said that they had control of the cage and wanted payment to unlock it. So, I mean, but that would be a pretty terrifying thing to happen if it happened to
Absolutely.
Be, if it happened to be on your cock at the time of this.
I wish one of these guys who were safe when they got the message, like they didn't have it on, were like, yeah, never let it off, baby. Ooh, yeah, I'm going to come so hard. Like, I wish that they like kind of played that guy so he would be like, blah, 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 blah. Teach him a lesson.
Teach this hacker a
Act
lesson.
Act like you're into it. This be like, yeah, leave it on for the rest of my fucking life. Like,
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. That's how hardcore I am.
This hacker needs to get a life.
It's pretty pathetic.
Give me 0.02 Bitcoin. Fuck you.
For seven, and it's $750.
That doesn't even seem like a lot of money to do this.
I mean, it's like already probably something not many people use on a grand scale. So you're already working with a limited audience of people to like blackmail.
Right.
And then it's not something people probably wear all the time. So the likelihood that they're even wearing it, like the whole thing seems kind of stupid.
It's
like,
flawed.
Yeah.
This is a flawed crime.
Nice try.
I wish hackers would do like some really more interesting stuff than just fucking with regular
erase
people.
Erase everyone's debt. Like, wasn't a hacker ever do something like that?
Yeah.
It's like something cool as hell.
Yeah.
They would be a hero.
They
like,
would
no
be a hero.
Hacker ever wants to be a hero.
Right.
They could eliminate everyone's debt right now. And we would be like, you're the king of the world.
Yeah, and we'd never give them up to the cops.
No, none of us would convict them.
No.
Unless you're a nerd. But there's only going to be maybe one on the jury. At most.
Now, this next story is out of Denmark. And I'm reading this from the Irish Times. Everyone and people are up in arms about this new children's TV show.
I don't know it.
The Danish children's TV show. It says, children's TV show about man with giant penis airs in Denmark.
Why are they up in arms about it?
Desi.
Wait.
It is a children's show about a man with a giant penis.
What's it called?
Well.
Wait. Okay. Give us the details.
John Dillermand has an extraordinary penis. So extraordinary, in fact, that it can perform rescue operations, etch murals, hoist a flag, and even steal ice cream from children. That's what the premise of this show is. This man's penis can do extraordinary things. This I'm reading this from the
Irish. I have to say, like, stealing the ice cream from children is probably where the penis has crossed the line.
Yeah, because if the kid reaches out to stop it, that's not good.
Yeah.
The Danish equivalent of RTE-DR has a new animated series aimed at 4 to 8 year olds about John Dillermand, the man with the world's longest penis who overcomes hardships and challenges with his record breaking genitals. Unsurprisingly, the series has provoked debate about what good children's television should and should not contain. Since premiering on Saturday, opponents have condemned the idea of a man who cannot control his penis. One Danish author named Anne Lise Marstrand Jorgensen basically said, is this really the message we want to send to children while we are in the middle of a huge Me Too wave? The show comes just months after the TV presenter Sophie Lind kickstarted Denmark's Me Too movement. Christian Gross, an associate professor of gender researcher at Roskilde University, said he believed the program's celebration of the power of male genitalia could only set equality back. He says this is normalizing locker room culture. A clinical psychologist said John Dillermand talks to children and shares their way of thinking, and kids do find genitals funny, she said.
Okay. I like how we had to bring all these official people into what any normal person would think is an insane premise for a children's show. If there was no Me Too era happening or whatever happening right now, this would still be insane. Like,
right.
Like,
it's a fucking weird premise.
I'm not even a prude and I'm pretty like open everything, but this is so insane. I can't believe, like, was everyone high when they pitched and like put this up? Like, it sounds like a show for adults, like a kid's show for adults. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, this clinical psychologist who is pro penis show for kids, Erla Heinesen Holsjed, she says, quote, the show depicts a man who is impulsive and not always in control, who makes mistakes like kids do.
But why does he have a big penis? What does that have to do with anything?
She says, but crucially, Dillermand always makes it right. He takes responsibility for his actions. When a woman in the show tells him that he should keep his penis in his pants, for instance, he listens, which is nice. He is accountable.
I feel like all of this stuff is like what parents are for, like to teach kids this stuff in like a more safe environment where they're kind of feel protected. Like, I don't need some weirdo guy teaching kids things. That's like that's what we're trying to keep kids away from, guys like that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think there's a better person. Like, I'm not a parent, whatever, but maybe there is a better way. It is an odd choice for a kid's TV show.
I feel like even without the penis, do kids need to learn lessons from an adult man who makes a lot of mistakes? Like, I just, like, on every level, like, it's weird.
And then also it says that his name, the guy, like the star of the show's name, Dillermand, whatever, the character's name, it says that's Danish slang for penis. Oh, so Dillermand literally means penis man.
It's so weird.
So the show is called John Penis Man.
Does the guy, the actor, have a really big penis?
No.
Do they show it?
No, it's like a cartoon.
Oh, this is a cartoon.
This is a cartoon.
Oh. I mean, not that that makes it better, but oh.
It's a little, yeah. Can you imagine if it was a live action? Hold on, let me pull up a picture.
I feel
of this.
Like there's like a good concept maybe here. It's Desi, just weird.
Once you see a picture, okay. You're going to die.
That's like absurd. Honestly, it doesn't seem as bad now because it's so absurd.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
It's not like a weird guy with a really big dick. It's like an absurdly long hose dick.
It looks like a tail.
Yeah.
It looks like a tail that's coming out of his crotch.
Do they ever explain, though, why it has to be a penis? Can he have, like, another weird large body part?
Right.
I don't know. Very weird.
It's an interesting
choice.
Where
is this at?
This is in Denmark.
Denmark.
This is in Denmark.
If we have Denmark, our listeners in Denmark.
I would love to.
Let us know about this show.
I would
love. Is this normal there? Like, penis talk? I don't know. Maybe it is.
Look, I would personally love to hear from a Danish listener because maybe there's some cultural context we're not getting, or maybe their kids watch the show and it's fine.
Yeah, I would love to know.
I'd like
just hearing about it. It sounds odd.
It's odd.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as someone who saw lots of penises as a child
for not the right reasons,
I didn't learn any good lessons, I don't think. But perhaps these men I was seeing didn't learn from their mistakes.
Our next story was sent to us from a listener on Twitter, and it relates to last week's main episode about Lou Pearlman.
Ooh.
Because it's a Backstreet Boys story.
Oh yeah, I saw that link.
This story made several major news outlets, but I thought that the Daily Mail headline was the funniest. So I'm going to read that headline from the Daily Mail. It says, Backstreet's back, alt-right. Kevin Richardson retweets, quote, interesting read about someone losing a friend to QAnon in thinly veiled snipe at bandmate Brian Luttrell, who revealed he had a Parler account. Now, it was also revealed to me this week, prior to this story coming out, that Brian Luttrell is possibly a QAnon believer.
That's crazy.
Because several people linked me to a post he had made this past week saying, hey guys, join me on Parler.
I saw that. I saw that tweet.
So at the very least, he's an alt-right kind of guy. But this tweet, Kevin Richardson tweeted out an article that was a piece from Cosmopolitan magazine called I Lost a Best Friend to QAnon. He captioned it, interesting read, dot, dot, dot. And then he did the eyes emojis.
Right. And if you don't know, Kevin Richardson is another Backstreet Boy. And I think I mentioned on the episode that they're cousins.
Yes.
So yeah.
Brian Luttrell is his cousin.
And Kevin brought him in.
Yes.
Because I think Brian lived in like Oklahoma or something, like
Tennessee.
I can't remember, but Kevin lived in Orlando and he's like, oh, my cousin in whatever state that was far from Florida.
Yeah.
I think it was Oklahoma maybe, but I'm not sure. And so that's how he got into the band.
I think it's Kentucky.
Maybe. Yeah. One of those.
I think they're both from Kentucky.
Yeah. But Kevin was like living in Orlando.
Yes.
So yeah. Interesting.
So yeah. So people are speculating, is this like shade?
A family.
Is this shade at Brian Luttrell, who may or may not be a QAnon believer? For those of you who don't know what QAnon is, it's a conspiracy theory, series of conspiracy theories.
Yes.
How would you even describe it?
Like a cult. It's it's a cult.
It's a
where
cult.
They all believe the same conspiracy theory.
They all believe the same various conspiracy theories, some pretty off-the-wall stuff. I would listen to that episode of...
No Reply.
Reply All.
Reply All, sorry.
Desi, let me finish my sentence.
No Reply. That's my new goal. Don't reply to me.
I would listen to the podcast Reply All, because they did a fascinating, I think it was a two-parter, right? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's good. They did a fascinating episode about the origins of QAnon, and it just started as like this guy.
Yeah. It's a really good episode.
It's just like one
I had no idea. I knew a little bit about it, but that one really kind of laid it out for me. So yeah. If you know nothing like I did, it's definitely a good starter point.
Yeah. Like I knew like some of the conspiracies they believed in, but I didn't know that it was essentially started by some dude on 8chan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like just a dude.
And it's still a dude, basically.
It's still some dude.
Yeah, called, but it's obviously gotten bigger.
Right.
It's more mainstream in a way.
Right. It's gotten very mainstream compared to how it was when it first started in America. So, but if Brian Littrell is a QAnon believer, that is a very interesting development considering we talked a lot about the Backstreet Boys last week.
Backstreet's back. All right. No, I'm not going to not be able to say that.
I know.
And I did say it that I thought he was cute, but now I
don't. Right before we started recording, you were like, I always loved Brian Littrell.
I thought he was the best looking one.
Yeah.
Well, other than, I was thinking of someone else. He was an NSYNC. I thought of the Backstreet Boys.
He was the hottest.
He was the hot, best looking to
me. He was good looking.
Yes. But his personality seems bad now.
So Kevin Richardson.
Yeah.
Interesting tweet there. Another story. This broke today. And I think our listeners will be happy to hear this, that Taco Bell is bringing back potatoes.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
They did a potato purge.
I remember the purge. The menu change. People don't like that.
People don't like when you change menu items.
McDonald's. Hint, hint.
Yeah. Bring back chicken selects. Taco Bell enraged a lot of loyal fans of the cheesy Fiesta potatoes, among other potato items on their menus when they removed them. I think it was last summer. Cheesy Fiesta potatoes, the spicy potato soft taco. This is from CNN. Those two items will be back in restaurants on March 11th. You know what? Bring them back now.
Did you eat any of the potato items from Taco Bell?
No, I didn't. And let me just say, I didn't want them until they removed them. And then I was sad I never tried them.
Wait,
I did eat cheesy Fiesta potatoes. Those were good. Did you ever have those?
They sound like something I would like.
They're like basically like, from what I remember, I haven't had them since high school, but it was like tater tots covered in nacho cheese and sour cream and chives.
Ooh.
It was so good.
Literally my only concern, I would want those potatoes to be very well cooked.
They were good.
Okay.
They were good.
Because everything else sounds perfect.
And you know what? This was a devastating to vegetarian and vegan eaters, I imagine.
Oh.
Because there's not a lot of vegan or vegetarian options in fast food all the time.
Right. You have to get like a bean burrito.
Right. But this was another option for people who don't
eat meat. And potatoes. I mean, we all know how we feel about that.
We all love potatoes.
But so were they tater tots though or potatoes?
They were like
fried. Because I saw they looked like chunks.
They were chunks of fried potatoes. They weren't exactly tater tots, but they were very fried.
Okay, I want those.
They were really good.
Can we try those when they come back?
When they come back, we'll try them. This is from the CNN article. One person tweeted in July, quote, Taco Bell getting rid of potatoes is worse than my parents' divorce.
Wow.
I mean, I relate to a tweet like that.
I do too.
I just get that.
Hard when it's not your food. You're like, really? But then if it's something I like, it's like, I will murder people.
I don't think I can forgive Taco Bell for taking potatoes off their menu, wrote another. People posted cry face emojis, heartbreak emojis, a change.org, quote, petition for Taco Bell to not remove all potato items.
It is wild when they remove one whole ingredient.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's usually one thing off the menu or whatever, a few items off the menu, but like a whole like subset of it. Dishes are gone.
It's such a weird thing to decide to remove. It's not like they were like, well, we got to take the scallops off the menu. No one's eating Taco Bell scallops. Like, that makes sense. But potatoes, how expensive could that be?
Right. And they last forever, too.
Yeah, like, they really do.
Yeah, I would be curious what their decision was and then why they brought it back. It's weird.
Now that they're gone, or they have been gone, like, I've wanted them.
I think I didn't want them until I realized they were gone and I saw how much people liked them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, are those really good? Because I never even thought to get them.
So
we're trying them when they come back.
You know what? When they come back, we'll try them. I think this podcast has proven that with our collective power of positive thinking and demand for these discontinued food items, we can achieve anything.
Someone asked us to bring back 3D Doritos.
That's my next story.
Oh, okay.
So I looked up 3D Doritos to see if there was any petitions online to bring them back, because one of our listeners replied us on our Hollywood Crime Scene account on Twitter, and they said, can you please do this? Do what you did for Vianetta for 3D Doritos. I said, we're on it.
Yeah.
We're going to put that out there in the universe.
Okay.
According to Thrillist, in an article published on December 31st, 2020, 3D Doritos are back.
We did it so fast this time.
We did it so fast. This is from the Thrillist article. We won't pretend like losing your favorite snack to a sudden discontinuation isn't brutal. It is. Blah, blah, blah. 3D Doritos 3D Crunch. That's how they're branding them now. They're not just Doritos 3D. They're called Doritos 3D Crunch.
Okay.
These were all the rage in the 90s. The new chips sport the same three-dimensional shape you devoured during childhood, but in two new flavors, chili cheese nacho and spicy ranch.
Ooh.
Doritos 3D Crunch is one of our most anticipated product launches ever. What's exciting is we didn't just bring back the original. We evolved it to reflect the snacking trends of a new generation. SVP and CMO of Frito-Lay, Rachel Fernandiano, said in a press release, we're thrilled to introduce a new version at a time when we could all use a small amount of joy. See, they get it.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is we just want the one back. We don't want the new flavors.
That's true.
There was like new snacking trends, like matcha or whatever.
This is what I call CEO brain.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. But at the same time, like, I hope that the original one is the exact same.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yes. But they always have to like redo something. It's just like, no.
They're celebrating the launch of the new 3D Doritos Crunch on TikTok with a TikTok challenge. And they're partnering with the original Doritos girl, Allie Landry.
I remember the commercial.
I do too.
I don't think I ever had them.
I did.
Were they just a Dorito?
No, it was a different texture.
It's a different thing.
It's a different texture.
I can imagine what it is.
It's like a puffy, it was like a puffy triangle ball.
Yeah. I don't think I ever had them.
It was a crispier texture.
I like Doritos.
I like Doritos too. Look, these were not my favorite snack, but if our listeners miss 3D Doritos, I want our listeners to have them back.
Absolutely. I did want to point out to our listeners that over the summer for Mel Magazine, I did write an article about people who wanted to bring things back. And there's like so many online groups devoted to these items. And it's wild how every item almost that's been discontinued has a group, obviously different sizes depending on what the item was. Yeah. Like there's a Facebook, like I literally, cause I was like, I need to find people to talk to. I just went onto Facebook and was like, bring back. And then I would just type in Nestle's or like whatever word and like things would just pop up. And then I would go into the groups and like see what was up with the groups. But it's fascinating that there is this internet culture now that people have a voice to get this shit happening.
Yeah. Or get it trending
or just to find like, even when we started talking about Vianetta, like people, like I feel like I started seeing it more, like more people outside of our listeners, obviously, and us were tweeting about like missing Vianetta. And then when you saw it come back, everyone was like excited for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's like a way, like people probably like, I didn't even know anyone else remembered Vianetta.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things. So it's kind of cool, I think. That's like one thing that is good about the internet.
Yeah. Is bringing back discontinued foods.
It's probably the best thing about the internet.
You know what?
The only good thing.
Yeah, I think this is. I think this is.
No, I love it. It's exciting, even when I don't care about the item. The other thing I think we should get on, and I'm convinced this is true, is that they have changed, Pepperidge Farm has changed the Milano recipe. And I need to know what happened? And I want them to bring back the old recipe. Please email me if you also believe this to be true.
To me, I haven't had a Mint Milano since the mid-90s.
Okay.
That is the most 90s cookie to me, Desi.
It's so 90s. Remember, I used to like Milanos and Brussels.
Brussels. That's the other one. Okay.
I would get the pack.
Yes, Desi. My best friend from childhood, we would stay up late eating Brussels and Mint Milanos. Okay. But to me, those two cookies taste like the mid-90s.
They are the epitome of the mid-90s. But I had one like a year ago and I was like, this is not the same recipe. They weren't as good. Like, yeah. I know something is different. The other thing funny, because I used to get the pack where it had like their top cookies. Like, yeah. It was like Brussels, Milanos. And then it was always like, eat them. And then the last ones would always be those Chess. Ugh. There's always like, that's another thing that bullshit. I'm fascinated by. When you get a package of like multi-pack, what is the thing you eat last?
Yes.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yes. In the cereal packs, it's like you always save like whatever Frosted Flakes for last, or Cheerios or something. Like, yeah. You know those multi-cereal packs?
Yeah.
Like, I like knowing what people eat last. Like, in that tin, it's like, you got to eat the pretzel one first.
Yeah.
That's the best one.
The Danish cookie.
The Danish. Like, I can't talk to people who don't think the pretzel is the best.
The pretzel one is the best, but overall, I think those cookies suck.
They suck ass. But you, when you get something like that, you got to make the best of it.
Of course. Look, if somebody offered me one of those bullshit Danish cookies from the tin, I'm eating one.
Right, and I'm going to pick the pretzel.
And I'm going to pick the pretzel one. It's the best one. Even though they're technically all the same batter, that tastes the best.
And it's like having a favorite M&M color.
Yes.
But no, if I got a Milano right now, I would, of course, eat it, even though I don't like it as much as I used to when I was
right,
a kid.
Right.
So I think I tried to bring this up last week with Vianetta. Like, that was that. Maybe because I had that Milano experience. That's part of my fear. Like, is my memory wrong? Was Milano's always disgusting? Because I remember loving Milano's. I thought they were so good. Like,
yeah.
I had a way I ate them.
Yeah.
Like, I had the whole thing. So will Vianetta live up to my memory? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it will.
That's a crumbly cookie.
Yes.
Milano, that's a very crumbly
Did you ever
one.
Let it
fizzle in fizzle your mouth? In your mouth?
Dude, why are we the same person sometimes? It's crazy.
Of course. It like dissolves in your mouth into a fine mist.
And most of my childhood was spent eating foods in ways that made them last longer. Gotta savor those good moments in my abusive childhood. Oh, I'll never let this Milano end.
That would be a good commercial.
Yeah.
Like, instead of like the sad bored housewife, it's the sad abused child.
I'm writing something that I'm so excited for. It's so sad abused, but then I have so many people who wrote into me about it. So
excited. The catalog?
Yes.
Desi had a catalog that she used to highlight all the, or circle all the items she wanted in when she was a child.
I know. I'm so excited.
I'm excited to read it. I didn't even get that catalog.
Spiegel?
No.
Oh my God, it was so big.
I never got it.
It was so huge and thick, and they had everything. But other people, I have other catalogs people are writing in about, including like Hickory Farms, like the one with like the cheese and sausage.
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to get someone though. If you fit this bill, write me for like
Delia's,
like 90s catalogs too. Like,
please.
There's not really like catalogs anymore.
No, there isn't. It's online shopping.
Right. I liked catalogs though.
I was big into Delia's because that shit was hot. Because I was in middle school in the late 90s.
Right.
So that shit was hot.
Yeah. And you wanted to look through it and like dog ear the pages. Like, ooh, I want that.
I had this really cute knee length leopard print skirt from, I think this one was from Girlfriends, because there was like a slightly like Delia's slutty sister was the magazine Girlfriends.
Ooh.
Or the catalog Girlfriends. Please at me if you ordered from Girlfriends.
I never even heard of it.
Was Just Nikki.
Ooh,
that was like another
super trashy. They were,
look, I like
Just Nikki. That's like some rich guy's cheap ass girlfriend. Yeah. Like, I want to open a shop.
That's exactly the store. That's exactly the clothing store. But I love that shit. I had this leopard skirt and it had like a little black lace trim around it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
I looked so cute in that skirt.
I like it.
Oh my God. Good. I got so many like platform sneakers and stuff.
I love nostalgia, like food oriented nostalgia. It's like my favorite thing lately, or this past year especially.
Oh my God.
I just love, because it's like nothing else is happening. So I love reading people's
nothing
like,
and everything is happening.
Well, I meant like nothing in our personal lives.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Because we're all home, obviously a ton of shit is happening. So it's like people I think are really focusing in on past stuff a lot.
Right, right.
Which makes us happy. I don't know.
So that led me to sort of do a very quick Google search about discontinued foods that people want back. Obviously, I'm not going to go in too deep on this. I'm only going to mention one product that intrigued me because I think this could be a whole other episode in and of itself.
Ooh.
But something that was before our time from the 70s, this is from McDonald's, onion nuggets.
Ooh. That sounds good.
It was like chunks of onions battered and deep fried. So it was like a little nugget of an onion ring.
It's like a tater tot onion ring.
Sounds fucking delicious.
That sounds good.
They got rid of these.
I wonder why. That's like the fascinating thing to me. Like I want to know what the decision-making process was.
They said, I think it was, like I read one thing that was like they weren't selling because people were like, this isn't an onion ring. And then they launched McNuggets a couple years later.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it makes sense when people aren't buying it, obviously.
Right. But this sounds like a cheap way to use discarded pieces of onion from
the
burgers.
Well, that's not a very good selling way to sell it.
Freshly battered, discarded pieces of onion.
This is a great way to use up discarded onions from burgers. Buy some. I like onions that are fried. So, I definitely fucking eat those. And so I especially feel like it needs a good sauce.
I'm very picky about my onion rings because I love onion rings.
I do too.
I like the kind that has the puffy batter. I don't want the breaded batter.
You mean like the little breadcrumbs?
I don't want the breadcrumbs.
Ooh. I mean, I like the breadcrumbs.
I don't want
ones.
The breadcrumbs. I want like a beer batter.
I like both, but I'm picky about both ways.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like the breadcrumb ones can be very good.
I'll eat them. I will eat them.
I like a good breadcrumb one, but I'm very picky about it. And the beer batter ones, I'm extra picky about because I've had some terrible ones. My major complaint usually with the beer batter ones is I feel like the onions aren't cooked enough sometimes.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't like that. I want them to be soft.
Soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, I have very specific needs here, but I love a good onion ring. You know who has good onion rings is Fatburger.
They do?
That's like one of my favorite onion ring, like fast food, like the only one I'll get.
Ooh.
And it's not a breadcrumb one. It's like in between the two.
I like a very light batter.
It's a very thin, crunchy batter.
Right.
Almost like a spring roll would have or something. You know, like that kind of thin, papery one.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Fuck. See, that's something I can't order delivery from. This is like why I need to be... I need to be vaccinated. We all need to be vaccinated so I can go to a fast food place again.
Let's go on an onion ring.
I mean, we could go
journey.
In the car, but
yeah,
but it's like all the like not.
I would like to try onion rings with you so we can find out exactly where our differences lie.
Yeah,
that seems really fascinating.
Okay,
to me.
We could do that. We could do an onion ring tour of Los Angeles.
Yeah,
we'll find out who's slanging onion rings. Fatburger, yeah. We know.
Yeah, we'll try the Fatburgers because yeah. I've enjoyed them. So, yeah.
All right, let's take a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm a huge fan of Rocket Money. Not only did they help me find and cancel some of my unwanted subscriptions, in general, they've given me a great picture of my financial status and helped me save money. I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I love the dashboard that shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. That's rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene.
I'm a huge fan of cashmere, and that can be a very expensive habit. That's why I was so excited to find Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I am absolutely living in my black cashmere mini dress, and to be honest, I want to buy like 3 more because I can't imagine my life without them. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Hollywood for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Hollywood to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Hollywood.
Desi, did you watch anything or read anything or listen to anything great this week?
I am still watching Sons of Anarchy, so that's getting real juicy. Definitely recommend. I feel like if you like soap opera-y trash, it's good. It's a lot of drama, right?
How great is Jax's ass?
That is such a guy that I typically would not go for, but he is just so hot, and I feel like it's his personality on the show too that is extra attractive because he's so flawed. So it makes him hot. Because if he was just like a pretty boy surfer, I would not be into him.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the fact that he's just this completely like troubled, like he's torn in so many ways. That's always just a very compelling character for me. But he's physically also very hot.
Yes.
So that's a great combination.
Right.
Because usually that kind of guy I like is not always attached to a hot body.
Yeah.
So it's nice when they come together.
It's very nice when they come together.
He has a great ass. I love seeing it pumping away on something.
Dude, the amount of times in this show, I feel like they did that specifically for people who are into guys.
It's a little bit... yeah, because he's just like takes all his clothes off and goes in the shower.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, this is not relevant to the story, but I like it.
Yeah, but it's relevant to my interests.
Yes. So it's very good. And then I started watching Lost, I told you again. That's like definitely something that is a pandemic binge because it's like I'm watching a lot of shows I feel like I would not be watching right now otherwise because I'm able to watch them really fast. So I started watching that, and then I think that's it. I That's all I've done. I binged like 4 seasons of Sons of Anarchy. I'm like in season 5 now.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of, that was a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's emotionally taxing, that show.
Yes. And it's been keeping me up very late.
Yeah.
Because I can't stop because every episode ends on like a cliffhanger. And I'm like, well, I'll watch the first 10 minutes and then I end up watching the whole episode.
Of course.
So it's literally like I fall asleep. That's how I stop watching.
Yeah.
So then I have to rewind in the morning. I can figure out where I like fell asleep. So yeah, I'm into it for sure.
Well, I started watching last night the spinoff they did for Sons of Anarchy, which is about the Mayans, the Mexican gang.
Yeah.
And this show is actually pretty good. It's called Mayans MC. So it's about the Mayans Motorcycle Club that's in Sons of Anarchy.
Right.
The lead guy in this is, whew, he is hot.
Oh, really?
They got another hot guy.
They know what we want.
They know, whoever, look, the casting for these two shows, they nailed it.
Who's the actor? Is it someone?
J.D. Pardo.
Oh, I don't know
He's
who that is.
He's very attractive.
Okay, I believe you.
And look, he takes off his shirt in like the first episode. They know, they're giving the viewers what they want.
They're not going to mess with this formula too much.
No, no.
It's a winner.
He's also very moody and and brooding.
Exactly.
And he's just like, he is very attractive.
Okay. Ooh,
so I recommend that. And I was surprised. I'm like, oh, this is pretty compelling.
Yeah.
And Edward James Olmos is in it and I love him.
Yeah.
So if you're into the Sons of Anarchy universe and you miss it.
Yeah.
So far, Mayans MC, pretty good.
Is that a show that still is on the air? Or
yeah, okay. It's still, I think it got picked up for like a third season.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure, but it's not something that's been canceled.
Right. Okay.
And it's like a more recent in the past few years. So I think there's 2 or 3 seasons.
Okay.
Maybe, I'm not exactly sure, but I started watching that last night and we decided, we're like, oh, we like, this is pretty good. What did you eat?
Did I eat anything good? What did we eat?
What did you eat?
I did make some cookies this weekend.
What kind?
Chocolate chip. Mm. But like the kind that are like really buttery and crispy, which I like all varieties of chocolate chip cookies. So it's like, what am I in the mood for? I was in the mood for that type.
Yeah.
I have a really good recipe. It's by Martha Stewart's daughter, Alexis. And these are brown sugar chocolate chip cookies. So they're very crispy. But kind of chewy still. They're really good.
That's a good texture.
They're very good cookies. So I did make those. Yeah, I don't know. You know, nothing really exciting. I'm still doing the meal delivery. So it's healthy stuff other than the cookies.
I had a smorgasbord.
Oh, really?
I was like Templeton the Rat this week. First of all, my boyfriend introduced me to a variety of Tate's cookies that I hadn't had before.
Oh.
And it was the butter chip. Have you had those?
No, but as someone who grew up on the East Coast.
That's what he said. That's what he said. Okay. So
these friendlies, right?
Well, he said, he was like, anyone who went to a PS on the, like anyone who went to a New York public school has had these cookies. So this is like a New York cookie, apparently.
And
I had never had them, but he said specifically it was like a New York public school cookie.
Yes, I know exactly what these cookies are.
Dude.
But I have not had the Tate's
version. It's my
version.
Ultimate cookie, because my ultimate cookie is a chocolate chip cookie with no chocolate chips in it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I like chocolate chip cookies, but my ultimate cookie would be if there was none, because I find the batter itself to be so delicious, I want more of it.
But what? So do you just make chocolate chip cookies without chocolate?
I don't make a lot of chocolate chip cookies.
Right.
But these cookies, instead of a chocolate chip, they have like a little toffee nugget in it.
I know what a butter chip is. Believe me.
They were so good.
Now, not only do they have butter chip cookies, but you could also go to Friendly's, which is like an East Coast ice cream parlor. And they had a butter chip ice cream that I used to get also. The butter chip ice cream was so good. So it was like a buttery vanilla yellowish ice cream, and it had the butter chips in it, like these like little toffee bits or whatever. It was so good.
That sounds so good.
It's so good. It's the best flavor. So yeah, that sounds good. I honestly have never seen them even because I probably would have bought them.
I was surprised because I had not had that variety of Tate's cookies before. Mm. Tate's is my favorite packaged cookie.
It's good.
They make a great cookie.
I'll eat a whole fucking bag.
When they came, when that came to the West Coast, I was so happy.
Yeah, because that's like a Hamptons. They had that. That was like big in the Hamptons. I remember that. That was where I had it.
But I always bought them at the bodegas when I would go to New York for work. Really? Yes, I would always get them.
I feel like it had a journey.
Yeah,
because I feel like when I first had them, they were not in every market.
Yeah,
it was like more like gourmet stores,
like a specialty store.
Yeah, uh huh. I feel like the first time I heard of them was like Ina or Martha.
Probably.
Like that's why I tried them.
That I feel like Ina is friends with the Tates.
Yeah, I think that sounds familiar.
You know what? Somebody actually tweeted at me recently, like, because I tweeted about Tate's cookies. I said, I don't know who Tate is, but he put his whole dick into these cookies. And someone explained to me who Tate was. I'm like, well, this was a rhetorical statement.
I remember that.
But they did.
Because you sent me that. You're like, look at this. I was making a joke.
Like, I could have Googled that. I'm not that much of an idiot. I can Google it.
Actually, sir, ma'am.
Ma'am, Mr. Tate and his wife make the cookies.
Yeah.
So it's Tate.
She did not put her whole dick in the cookies. Dicks are not listed on the ingredients.
It's like, it's the spirit.
It's the spirit of a dick.
It's the spirit of a dick. It's delicious. So.
That's exciting. I'm sad you guys ate them all.
I know. I ate them so fast. Ugh, look,
I want one of those butter chips.
I can eat a box of Tate's so fast.
They're literally a single bite.
Each like, cookie.
That pack is a joke.
Yeah, it is a joke.
Because it's like, if you can't eat that whole pack in one sitting,
yeah.
It's like, what are you even doing with your life?
Right,
seriously. It's nothing.
I don't want to know you.
It's like frustratingly how fast those go.
Right.
There's always that feeling too when you go back in and it's empty. crumbs and you gotta pour it in your mouth.
I did.
That's the worst feeling. Feel that plastic, it's like...
It's a feeling of shame and disappointment.
It's true, yeah.
The other exciting development is that my See's candy finally arrived.
That's true. I saw the picture.
I posted a picture on my Instagram stories last night. I was thrilled. Look, I've already eaten.
It's been a long time coming.
I've already eaten way more than one person should eat.
Why do we both do that now? It's like we can't not make a shh sound. We're like forever broken.
This is a game changer, ordering the custom box, because every single chocolate I know is going to be delicious because I picked it out.
You don't have to take a bite and put it back.
It's not a gamble. It's not a gamble. I'm not going to take a bite and it's some bullshit, like experimental shit.
Why would
you not
get a custom box at this point? It's like not any more or less money.
The
like,
only thing I wished is that it came with the little guide. I mean, it is a surprise because I don't remember exactly what I got.
But you know you're going to love it.
I know I'm going to love it. And I do.
I need the guide for my custom box that I picked everything. Which one? Like, I would be on the fucking phone looking at the shapes.
Yeah. Oh, I've done that.
I mean, I know certain ones. Like, you know the Scotch Mallow.
Yes.
That's, you know,
that's
obvious.
A classic.
Yeah.
That's the cylinder.
That's exciting. And I have decided that in 2 weeks, I'm going to order a box of Ricuti. In fact, I put a notification because they were sold out. And I said, email me when this box is available
again. Do you
want
to explain what Ricuti is?
Ricuti is a very high-end artisanal chocolate that's in the Bay Area. The Bay Area has a great building. The first time I went in, I was literally screaming like Annie. The ferry building. Like, I was screaming like Annie when she went to Mr. Warbucks' house, Daddy Warbucks' house for the first time. I was like, oh, I think I'm gonna like it here. Like, I was literally like, oh my God, there's, you know, that place I love. There's Ricuti. There's the coffee place because it's all gourmet food stands.
Cowgirl
basically.
Creamery.
Yeah. So I was like literally screaming. I was like, I need to eat that and that and that and that. Oh, joy. It was like being in like a toy store or something where if you were a kid.
I always tell people when they're going to San Francisco for vacation or work or whatever, they have to go to the ferry building.
It's definitely like touristy, but it's actually good.
It's good touristy, though.
Yeah,
it's not even, because it's not, like, don't go to Fisherman's Wharf. Skip
no,
Fisherman's
Wharf.
No,
that's bad for touristy.
That's not, don't take a trolley ride. You need to go to the ferry building because that has an amazing selection of specialty foods.
And they're all San Francisco based. Specialty foods.
Yes.
So it's very good.
Very good.
There's a really good restaurant there, The Slanted Door, Mojitas. Which I love.
Have you eaten there?
Mojitas.
Is the Mexican food?
I don't think so, because I usually go to Slanted Door.
Yeah.
And there's a few coffee places I like that serve food, like good breakfast type food. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Ricuti is there.
Yes.
They have a location there.
Believe me, my mom's obsessed with that place.
It's really good. They're very famous for their chocolate that's like a burnt caramel. But I like all of their chocolates. When I get their box of chocolates, it is like I savor every one. Even the ones I feel like I would never get because you can't customize a box, I don't think. I'll still love them.
Yeah.
Like they're all delicious. They're very dark chocolate, which I like. I just love their chocolates.
So good.
I'm like, someone went to the Ferry Building like a few years ago and I was like, get me some Ricuti, please. And they got me like the small one. Cause even the small box is like $25 for like six chocolates. I mean, it is expensive.
It's a splurge.
It's definitely a splurge. And I just remember eating that like a little gremlin, like in my dark corner, trying to make it last as long as possible. Cause chocolate's expensive to get delivered too.
Yeah.
Especially like Ricuti, because they send it in with like ice packs and shit. Like,
right.
Because they're also designed, like they have a decorative look to them.
Yeah.
Which probably is more fragile to mail because you don't want that shit melting at all.
They also, at the Ferry Building, they have Miette.
Yes, I love Miette.
Which is a little confectionery.
It's very, they have like macarons and like beautiful cakes and tarts, but they also have tons of cute little candies and it's such a cute store.
Yeah.
Because it's like pink.
It's very pastel.
It's very pastel-y and pretty and sweet. I love Miette. They have one at Larkspur Landing now too.
Yeah, I know.
It's very good. So yeah, that's my big splurge in a few weeks. Maybe I'll let you have one.
My last...
Jesus. Look, I love you, but...
I get it. I get it. It's fine.
I'll give you one of the lemon thyme ones.
No.
I'll give you one of the herb ones. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you know what? I don't care. I'll eat it. It's probably still delicious. No,
I love them all. They're all good.
They're
That's
all good.
The thing. Yeah.
The last thing that I remember eating this week in my stupor of just eating everything this week was I ordered from Jeet Lada, which is a very well-known, popular Thai restaurant.
Yeah.
Here in Hollywood, because I'm moving out of Hollywood at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So my mission for the rest of the time I live in Hollywood is to get some good Hollywood food that I'm going to miss not being able to order delivery from.
I'm sad we didn't get Jeet Lada before. I've never had it.
We'll order it again.
Okay.
We'll order it again before I leave.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I'm not moving far, but I'm not living in this neighborhood anymore. Yeah. So I got to order from all my spots.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
It's going to be like a sad farewell.
It's a farewell.
It's a sad farewell. Like, we'll get Trejos. We'll get all the Hollywood joints that I'm not going to be able to order delivery.
That we were sick of. Well, one day we'll miss them.
We will miss them at some point. So.
Yeah. Actually, we have that gift certificate too to Trejos.
We got to order Trejos.
Yeah.
With that.
And the donuts.
Okay. That's all I got.
Me too.
All right. Bye. Have a great weekend.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.